This is Twit.
If you have been using Twitter, particularly on mobile, because I don't think we have it on the web yet, at least I haven't noticed it on the web, just mobile. It rolled out a new feature this week. Everybody seems to have an opinion about it because it's kind of impossible to avoid. It's called Fleets, and Palmer Hosh, who's the digital culture reporter at Insider, joins us to talk about it. Welcome to the show, Palmer.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. I'm happy that you could take some time with us today. So thank you. And I was really like, I knew I wanted to get this story on today's show, but I wanted to find an interesting angle that isn't just, change is hard. I don't like it. I like it. Your article kind of got me really thinking about kind of maybe the potential downsides to this feature. But first, before we kind of go there, tell us a little bit about how this works. Fleets, you know, what is it designed to do? How does it work? Are you enjoying it? What do you think?
Yeah, right. So Fleets are kind of Twitter's answer or response to the stories format that's taken over a lot of other social media platforms and was really pioneered by Snapchat. And so Fleets are essentially more ephemeral posts that only last for about 24 hours, and they appear at the top of your timeline from different mutuals, people that you follow on Twitter. And so they could be images, videos, reposts of your tweets or someone else's, or just text. And so basically they're short-term posts that don't necessarily, or they're not intended to have the same kind of permanence or public visibility as a tweet. So you can see Fleets from people that you follow. They also appear on your profile. Someone can click on your profile picture and choose whether to view the photo or your set of Fleets. And so that's essentially what the feature is. So if you are familiar with Instagram's stories or Snapchat's, Fleets will be a very familiar format to you.
Yeah, it seems like they're all doing their own version of this. So it was really only a matter of time before Twitter got in on this as well. Twitter specifically called this a low pressure way for people to talk about what's happening. Low pressure. What is low pressure about this by comparison to what Twitter is all about? Is it the short kind of the short life cycle of a fleet compared to a tweet that could last for as long as you like until you delete it? Is that why?
Yeah, I think that's a large part of it. And I also think the thing about Fleets in particular is that it does feel a lot more insular than other types of posting. And so like with a fleet, it's something that like only your followers are going to automatically see. And it's not necessarily limited to only people who follow you, but they're the people of which like for whom that content is going to be automatically displayed to. And it's something that you kind of like, it's not necessarily something that will show up on your timeline within the feed itself. Rather, you have to click on it and you have to find it. And so like, I think the ephemerality of it is a big part of it, but also the fact that it feels like even if it's not necessarily true, you might be posting to a sort of smaller audience. And so I think in that way, particularly in the ways that it's reminiscent of Instagram, it feels a little bit more personal. And of course, you don't have to worry that someone's going to like necessarily publicly search for keywords and find your tweet that's outside of your normal circle. It's not quite as public in that way. And so I think that's a lot of it. And that's why it's a little less pressure. So like personally, you know, I tend to keep my Twitter somewhat professional, but for example, I'm really into K-pop. And so my first fleet was just like a funny post about a K-pop artist that I really like that I might not have necessarily just put on my timeline. And so I think that's something that like fleets have in terms of being perceived or marketed by Twitter as a low pressure posting option.
Yeah. It's like business in front, party in back. It's kind of like the mullet of social media.
Yeah. I like that. Fleets are the mullet of Twitter.
All right. So what you were talking about there as far as this kind of like this inability to really search into fleets, it's like they exist outside of the normal mechanisms of Twitter, seems to touch on what the crux of your article is at insider.com. You write about that lack of notification when someone's fleet or someone's tweet rather is fleeted. So many eats. How that could potentially at some point lead to becoming an effective tool for harassment. In other words, someone's tweet could be taken out of context or fleeted. That person whose tweet was fleeted would not know that it happened. And there could be a harassment, conversation happening behind the scenes that they are completely unaware of. Am I summarizing that accurately? What does that look like?
Yeah. So essentially, one of the concerns that I saw people raising immediately when fleets started to roll out was that, for example, you can post your own fleet to your story, which is something that people do on Instagram with their own posts and things like that. But you can also fleet someone else's tweets. And so that looks like you go to their profile or you see the tweet on a timeline and you can choose to just repost that onto, I guess, for a lack of a better word, your fleet story. And so that was something that people raised concern about because you don't receive a notification when someone fleets your tweet. And so in some cases that could potentially be harmless. It's kind of comparable to if someone, say, screenshotted your tweet and posted it as an image, you wouldn't know in that situation, or if someone quote retweeted it from a private account. But people kind of raised the alarm about this because they felt that if, for example, you are a smaller account and someone finds your tweet and reposts it to potentially thousands of followers and has a poor opinion, if you are a follower of that person with a larger following, you could click through, hit the original poster's tweet, and then find their account. And if there's a sudden influx of interactions or potentially derogatory comments, that could be something that would be largely invisible. You wouldn't know necessarily where it was coming from. And so what I saw was people raising concerns about brigading in that sort of scenario when someone potentially would direct followers to harass a person or comment on a certain tweet. And the concern inherent in that is just that it's invisible and you wouldn't necessarily be able to notify the source. And Twitter did confirm to me in a statement that those notifications weren't present, but that they were something that Twitter was working on. So I think they are kind of aware potentially of some of those criticisms as well.
It's not like Twitter hasn't been in this situation a million times before. And, we've been trying to get them to learn that lesson repeatedly. Thankfully, they've improved things, but it's taken a lot of pain to get there before those changes. So I would be really surprised if they weren't at least, pressed up against this as a potential way of misuse of this feature. And hopefully they roll that out soon. How is this kind of stuff handled on other platforms? Because like we say, this is not a new feature necessarily. This is just Twitter's version of that kind of feature. Are other platforms doing things to prevent this type of kind of back channel harassment from happening? And how does that work?
As far as I know, I'm not super familiar with Instagram's terms of service, but I do know that in terms of, I'm sure it goes against their terms of service or rules. But I think the distinction there that people were talking about is there was one tweet from a user who was kind of addressing some of those well, other platforms allow you to do this, why is it different in this case? And I think something that's inherent to any kind of social media user or anyone in the tech space looking at these kinds of regulation and harassment, Instagram and Twitter are very, very different platforms. And while harassment is inherent and present on Instagram, on Twitter, it's a bit of a different phenomenon. And so I think a lot of these platforms, Twitter included, do disavow this kind of behavior within their terms of service or their rules for users. But as far as I know, Instagram, on the same hand, also doesn't give the same kind of notification if someone reposts one of your posts on their story. And so as far as I know, those sorts of concerns haven't necessarily been raised in the same kind of very quick fashion. And I think that's also because this has been a longstanding feature on Instagram for a while. But I think the growing sentiment among people who were tweeting about this yesterday was that Twitter is a radically different site. And has had such a storied history with harassment that it's been trying to address for years. And so other platforms allow the behavior, but I do think, or allow, not the harassment behavior, but allow you to repost other stories or other posts onto your stories. But Twitter is a platform where I think people feel that it should be taken with more caution.
Yeah, history has proven. And then as far as reporting something like this, if there is harassment happening within a fleet, like, is that just handled the same way using the same kind of harassment tools that Twitter already reports? Do they make that easy for someone to do?
Yeah, so I actually tested this yesterday. You can report a fleet, and any kinds of these behavior, whether it's targeted harassment, directing followers to go harass somebody, like, that is all still prevented under Twitter's rules. And it is possible and fairly simple to be able to report a fleet. So in that way, it's very similar to objectionable content or content that violates Twitter's rules in normal tweets as well.
Right. Good. Okay. Well, then hopefully we see some more meaningful changes here. At the very least, I think what I fall back on is if someone is taking my tweet and making a comment on it on Twitter, I want to have the ability to kind of like see what those comments are. Like, I totally agree. Everybody can have different opinions on certain things. But when it comes down to a hidden active harassment strategy that's happening against a particular person, like, if I'm the target of that, I definitely want to have the tools or the ability to be able to know that is happening, so that it's not hidden from me, so that there isn't like this war happening behind the scenes against me in a harassing, process, in a harassment process. And that, so some sort of notification needs to be there. Kind of surprising that Twitter doesn't have it at launch, but I guess these companies are very used to launching products before they're 100% fully baked, or maybe they didn't think about this initially. I don't know. I find that kind of hard to believe.
I know. That's something that I think a lot of other people were expressing, because they were like, why would Twitter launch a feature that could potentially make the harassment that I receive on this website, not me personally, but generally that people receive on that on Twitter, so much worse? And I think that's really the crux of it. What you said is, obviously people are combative on Twitter already, and people can already amplify others' content to large audiences through quote retweets and things like that, that would already direct their followers to wherever it's coming from. But like you said, in that case, you do know where it's coming from, and you can identify a source and hopefully mitigate it. But with fleets, that notification just isn't there.
Yeah, not yet, anyways.
Not yet.
We'll be waiting for that to happen, hopefully sometime soon.